Well, welcome back to our series we're calling Overflow God. We are looking at how to change our scarcity mentality, you know, thinking there's not enough in the world, everything's in short supply, to a mindset of abundance. God has provided more than enough. And today I want to talk with you about believing before the bounty. We all have good things we hope for, dreams in our hearts. I'm sure you came to church today with some hopes and dreams, things you're believing for, asking God to make happen in your life. Maybe it's a new job or a promotion at work, better health, your kids getting back on track, grandkids getting back on track. Maybe it's a chance for love or a second chance for love. It could be that you've lost a little bit of your passion, your fire, and you need meaning and purpose again. Whatever it is, like most people of faith, you've probably prayed asking God to make these good things happen in your life. And that's all good. God is an overflow God. He's a God of abundance. He's a God of more than enough. And he always wants us to have the right things at the right time and in the right amount. And when we turn to him, we are directing our hopes and dreams to the right source. The problem is, sometimes we don't really believe it's going to happen. We don't have total confidence that it's really going to happen. We hope, we pray, we ask God to answer our needs, but sometimes we take a kind of wait-and-see attitude without even realizing it. We've been disappointed in the past, so we say, God, I trust you, but honestly, I'll believe it when I see it. When we take that stance, knowingly or unknowingly, when we allow our doubt to become our baseline, well, let's see, God, what you can do above my low expectations, then we put limits on God and what he can do for us. About a year ago, we started believing for a small group revival in our church. We knew that small groups change lives, bring people together, offer a sense of community, provide friends in faith. So we wanted more small groups, more people in our groups. We got a team together, started planning it out. We set some really ambitious, if not impossible, goals. But the key was that we sincerely believed this was God's will for our church and that he would bring about the growth and the abundance, that he would do it. And so we took the limits off God. We started praying boldly for it. In fact, before we saw any sign of success, before we really even got started, we prayed thanking God in advance for making it happen. See, we had the courage to believe before the bounty. Many years after the Israelites, after God led the Israelites out of slavery, he brought them through the desert to the land he promised to give them, a land of abundance, a land flowing with milk and honey, a fertile land with fields they had not sown, with vineyards they had not planted, with cities they had not built. It was always good, but there was just one problem. They first had to cross over the Jordan River. And at that time of year, the water typically overflowed the riverbanks. The winter rains and the melting snow from Mount Hermon caused the water to surge and turn treacherous, making it impossible to cross on foot. But God told Joshua to send the priests with the Ark of the Covenant into the raging river. The plan didn't make sense. It seemed absurd. Obviously, they would be swept away by the rapids and drown. The Ark lost forever. But Joshua and the priests had faith enough to follow God's directions. And as soon as they took those first steps in faith into that raging water, into that turbulent water, the river stopped flowing. And the entire nation, millions of people, were able to cross on dry ground. And that miracle happened because they had the courage to believe and take those first steps of faith before they saw the miracle take place. Now, years later in the story, Joshua had grown old, and over the years, God had given the Israelites many victories over their enemies, but there was still much more to be done to settle the land so they could live there peacefully. Joshua knew that his life was coming to an end, and he didn't want the people to forget about God's power, all the things he had done for them, and become unfaithful, grow cold to God. So as we heard in the first reading, he gathered them together at a place called Shechem, and before Joshua died, he said, "Decide today whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." There were many more miracles to come, many more victories for the Israelites in the future, but they would not see any of those miracles, experience any of those victories, unless they first committed themselves in advance to serving God. Joshua was asking them to believe before they saw the fullness of the bounty, everything God was going to do for them in the land. I'm asking you to do the same thing. I'm asking you to do the same thing. It's sometimes easy to get discouraged when we're not seeing results. We're still struggling with the same problems. It's tempting to think things will never change. Years ago, when I was a kid, my dad loved to listen to a shortwave radio in the evenings. Anybody remember these shortwave radios? They kind of looked like that on the screen. My dad loved to listen to them, and honestly, my brother and I were fascinated by the whole process. My dad dialed in music and people speaking in different languages from all around the world. This was long before the internet. And I think as a result, my brother got interested in radio broadcasting and he made that his career. But I also took an interest in media and technology. So when I first became a priest, I had this desire to put my sermons on the air. In my last parish, I literally started off with this tiny little small voice recorder, and I plugged it into our antiquated sound system, and every week I would take the chip out of the recorder and I would manually upload it to an online platform. I was lucky if I got 2 or 3 listeners at first, and then month after month went by and year after year, and the numbers never increased. I started getting very, very discouraged. I thought I would never see the bounty. I almost gave up, and that was 8 years ago. But today we have a team of professionals and volunteers who work hard every week to broadcast our masses and our messages to our growing online community. We are sharing God's truth with more and more people every week who are tuning in for hope and inspiration. We're always believing for more viewers, and we hope that those of you who are watching, we love you very much and thank you for being with us today, that you'll also share this link with your friends because we're believing for more viewers, but we are reaching people that we otherwise would not have reached. Here's the point. One of the biggest mistakes you can make is giving up on your dreams too early when you're not seeing the results, the payoff, the success, the bounty. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we heard this story a few weeks ago, but there's a few more details that are important. Queen Jezebel had sworn to track down and kill the prophet Elijah. Elijah fled out into the desert, and he laid down and went to sleep under a tree. He said, "This is the end. God, take my life. I'm done." He didn't think he had anything left to hope or dream for. But God had different plans, and he sent an angel with some food and water, and he ordered Elijah to get up and eat and drink and then keep going into the desert. Well, Elijah eventually came to a cave. He heard God's voice telling him to go home and appoint a successor, a protege, someone who would follow in his footsteps. Elijah obeyed. He found a young man named Elisha. The names are confusing. Elijah found a young man named Elisha and trained him up in the ways of being a prophet. Now, at the end of Elijah's life, when he was being taken up into heaven on a fiery chariot, his student, Elisha, received a double portion of Elijah's spirit and power. And because of this, Elijah's student Elisha was able to perform twice as many miracles, was able to give hope to twice as many people as Elijah. None of that would have happened had Elijah thrown in the towel. We wouldn't be talking about his student Elisha today, who turned out to be one of God's greatest prophets. Here's the point. When you hold on to the dream God has put in your heart and do what God asks, taking those steps of faith, you will one day see the bounty for yourself, but there will also be a ripple effect down the line, like there was for Elijah and Elisha. Great things will happen, perhaps even in future generations. Things you may not even anticipate because you were faithful in the present moment and believed before you saw the bounty. In the gospel passage, Jesus was talking to a group of people who were becoming more and more skeptical of his claims. We've been hearing this continuation in John chapter 6 over the last, I guess it's 3 weeks now, this is the fourth week. And the people are becoming more and more skeptical of Jesus' claims. He had been telling them that he was the bread from heaven come down to earth, that his flesh was true food, his blood true drink, that whoever ate his flesh and drank his blood would live forever. We know this is the miracle that happens on this altar every week when the bread and the wine become the body and blood of Christ. But to the people listening to Jesus, this didn't make sense. It didn't seem right. It didn't add up. It disagreed with what they had learned. They grew up hearing stories about their ancestors in the desert, about God giving them the bread from heaven called manna for them to eat. And now this man was saying all this. It didn't seem right. So they said, "What sign can you do so that we may see and believe in you?" What's interesting is they wanted the miracle first. They wanted to see the bounty before they believed. But Jesus kept trying to convince them, saying, "You know, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life." He was challenging them to see with the eyes of faith, to see with spiritual eyes, not merely from an earthly viewpoint. But it was too late. It was too late. The people had given up. They weren't willing to keep going. Many of these people had been following Jesus as his disciples, and they went home. So Jesus turned to his closest 12 disciples and says, "Do you also wish to leave?" And I love Peter's response. He says, "Master, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." Long before Jesus was raised from the dead, long before he ascended back into heaven, before the Spirit had come to earth, descended on the earth, before the disciples saw the success of the work of their hands and the gospel firmly rooted in the nations, they believed. They believed before they saw the bounty of the resurrection, the ascension, the Pentecost, Holy Spirit, and the work that they were doing. They believed before the bounty. About 6 months ago, we told our coach, we have a coach, his name is David. He's probably watching. Hi, David. He's from Rebuilt, which is the parish association that we belong to. They kind of help us with everything that we're doing and advise us. And we told him about our dream to create a mission program here at St. Hilary. We told him that we wanted to engage everyone in this community in a radical movement of love and generosity for people who are in need, both in our own neighborhood and around the world. He said, "Okay, sounds good. Write that down. Write the vision down on a piece of paper. Write it in great detail. What do you see happening?" But there was a catch. We had to write it down in the present tense, as if it had already happened, as if it were unfolding right now. So we ended up saying things like, "Our missions program is making a measurable impact on marginalized communities. St. Hilary is known around the Bay Area as the little church that gives. Writing it down this way forced us to express our belief that God was actually going to make it happen. Long before we raised any money to fund the program, long before we found the right person to run it, long before we had any kind of plan, we had the courage, and I say courage because sometimes it's really hard. I often have stress dreams at night. They're crazy. But we had the courage to believe before we saw the bounty. You may be saying, well, Father Roger, that sounds good. You know, you talk a good game. But I've been dealing with this problem a long time. My health isn't coming back. My children are still struggling. My family still takes me for granted. I didn't get that new job I wanted, the promotion I deserved, the scholarship I needed. I haven't found that right person yet. Can't seem to lose that weight or beat that addiction. I want to encourage you this morning. It could be a test. It could be a test. Think about this. Had the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant not taken those first steps of faith into the turbulent waters, the people would never have been able to cross over. Had the Israelites later not recommitted themselves to serving the Lord before they saw the fullness of everything he was going to do for them, they wouldn't have taken the land. Had Elijah given up, there wouldn't be those blessings that he had for people. Had the disciples walked away from Jesus like everyone else, we probably wouldn't be celebrating here today. Never give up on your dreams. Don't listen to that voice in your head telling you, it's been too long, it's not going to happen, it's impossible. When you listen to God's voice, he will make it happen. Believe what Scripture says, that he is a way maker. He is a miracle worker. He is a promise keeper. He is a light in the darkness. It may not happen right away or on your preferred timetable, but if your dream is God's will, if it's God's will, and you have the courage to take those first steps of faith before you see the fulfillment, to pray confidently before the miracle happens, to look for the harvest before the seed begins to sprout, to believe before the bounty comes, then I say to you, you will see God's abundance, his provision, his goodness, his generosity in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.